This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and he joins us in studio every Tuesday to talk growth and development. You do not know about this rain or snow event. It's supposed to be tomorrow.
I've been in a weather news blackout today.
Yeah, it's supposed to be tomorrow, and we'll have full details for you, of course, at the bottom of the hour in our weather report. But I was listening to some of it this morning. It could be about an inch, they said, an inch of something, but who knows what. Anyway, where are we tonight? We had an announcement today, Brian. Jennifer McKeever has announced that she is a Charlottesville City Council candidate. And the reason I ask you about it is because, well, tell folks, because Charlottesville Tomorrow actually provides a local voter guide during election years, and you'll be doing that again this year.
Yeah, Charlottesville Tomorrow covers local elections, only city council and the Board of Supervisors. So in the city and the county, we cover those races. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan organization, so we're not endorsing anyone. We're not supporting their campaigns. We're just trying to ask them questions about land use and transportation, get the candidates on the record on that front, and make sure the public is aware who is running, what they stand for, and allow people to make an informed choice.
And you were there at Jennifer McKeever's announcement for city council?
That's right. She spoke in front of city council this morning, and we put the audio up on our website, so anyone who wants to listen to it, it's a short little audio podcast at cvilletomorrow.org, and we'll have the video up sometime tomorrow. So we're expanding our coverage of the candidates in 2007 to include video, and I'm pretty excited about that. We're also going to be tracking all the campaign contributions to the candidates. So that'll be done through the Virginia Public Access Project's website. They're actually doing the behind-the-scenes work, and we're supporting their local data initiative so they can collect that.
There was also an announcement recently in the county. Denny King of Paladin Media is a candidate for the Board of Supervisors down in Scottsville.
That's right. We may have been the first with that story yesterday on our blog. And Mr. King is going to run in the Scottsville district. He has not decided which party or whether he'll be an independent candidate. And when he ran in 2003 for the Albemarle County School Board, he ran with the endorsement of the Republican Party. So he's going to make that choice. If he runs as a Democrat, he will face a nomination challenge against Lindsay Dorier, the incumbent, who is running for re-election in the Scottsville district.
Lindsay Dorier has been on the Board of Supervisors how long? Is this his second or first term?
This may be his, he may be running for his third or fourth term.
Wow.
I'd have to go back and check.
That's a long time.
As long as I've been watching. Mr. Dorier has been involved, and of course his family has long time been involved in local politics.
Yeah, of course. And Ann Malik is running as well as a Democrat in the Whitehall district against incumbent David Wyatt.
That's right. And she is running as a Democrat, and it's not clear if there'll be other candidates in that race yet. I've heard some people talking that there may be interest in a growth area candidate, so somebody from Crozet. Specifically, Crozet proper, the designated growth area. There may be interest in having another candidate who, people have told me might represent those views more directly.
It is amazing that you don't have somebody on the Board of Supervisors from Crozet. I mean, it's one of the largest community areas in the county, and yet they're not represented by one of their own.
That's an issue. I mean, the county's changing. We've got this urban ring that's growing around the city of Charlottesville. And I think, that question of balance is a good one to pursue. All of these supervisors, once they're on board, should be thinking about the best interest, of course, of all our citizens.
Right, because they're not at-large seats. These are districts.
Well, they are in districts, but they should be, in my opinion, thinking of themselves as at-large members in that they're trying to represent the desires of the entire community.
Brian Wheeler is our guest from Charlottesville Tomorrow, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you've got a comment or a question. Big meeting tonight coming up in the county.
We've got two important public hearings tonight in front of the they're work sessions in front of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. One is related to the Avon and Fifth Street project. That's the retail project out Fifth Street, just after you leave the city, right behind the Hardee's restaurant on Fifth Street.
All those trees are going down. The land's going to be flattened out along the highway, and there's a big new shopping center going in back there.
Well, that's one way to put it, Coy. There will be a buffer on the highway. That's one thing that there were a lot of questions asked about. What will the view be from I-64? And they brought in sort of a perspective that showed that the hill along I-64 would protect some of that view shed from the interstate. But you're right. A lot of land will have to be leveled out so they can put in the parking lots that are required. And these are big box retail stores, a big home improvement, a big grocery store, and importantly for the community, a connector road over to Avon Street. So you would be able to have another path to, you know, improve our grid, so to speak, of the street network.
Brian, about 10 years ago, there was talk that they were going to do something like that down there. And the Charlottesville people went nuts. And there was literally protests at the county office building that people thought that would ruin the downtown area.
I think that is a concern that city residents bring up in a number of ways today as they look at retail expanding up 29 North, particularly around Albemarle Place, North Point, Hollymead Town Center. There is that potential for us to oversaturate the market with retail and draw people out of downtown Charlottesville. I think that is a legitimate topic of discussion. But we also have a lot of people in the county saying, if you want to stop me from going up 29 North and clogging the roads up there, then give me some choices on the south side of town. Give me a larger grocery store. Give me a home improvement store. And in fact, that's part of my routine. When I go up 29 North, I'm coming from Ivy. And so I'm coming in on 64. I head up 29, but it's usually to go to the Lowe's to get, you know, a piece of hardware of some sort.
Yeah.
And I would certainly be one less car heading up 29 if there were other options.
You'd love to drive down here to a new Home Depot.
I don't care which one it is.
I do.
Brand specific. But I think, that would be helpful. The and they've gotten a lot of feedback that those are shopping needs that part of the community wants to see. We have and of course, with Biscuit Run, that's not on the agenda tonight, but Biscuit Run would put another, 3,100 homes south of town who would also benefit.
And what's the figure on the number of car trips per day that are added to our streets as a result of Biscuit Run?
30,000 vehicle trips a day. And that's the same number for North Point, when that was another one we talked about up 29 North.
Yeah.
Different style of development, but they ended up right about the same number of vehicle trips.
Gosh, that's amazing. That just blows my mind.
Well, it's a lot.
And that's just two of the developments that are already approved. And there's a long list of developments that are already
in
the pipeline.
Well, and so that was Avon and Fifth Street. The other one on the agenda tonight is Hollymead Town Center. A lot of people think that, well, isn't that pretty much done? We have our target. Well, no, there's a lot more coming. We have the commercial part of Hollymead Town Center. The residential has not really come out of the ground
back
yet.
Up on that hill behind the Harris Teeter.
Up on the hill.
All townhomes, right?
That's right. And over to the left. If you were pulling in and the Target and Harris Teeter were on your right, that area down and to the left. There are actually two different parcels over there. Only one of them's being talked about tonight, but it's over 1,000 homes that will be added back there.
What's the car trips coming out of Hollymead Town Center?
I haven't seen a recent traffic study on that one. But speaking of traffic and transportation issues up 29 North, we've been talking about the Places 29 project. And that is a master planning project for the corridor. And they are recommending now, and I mentioned this last week, now I've got some numbers on it, but they were recommending six either grade separated or overcrossings along the 29 North corridor, starting at Hydraulic Road, and then three within a mile of Hollymead Town Center. So this would be Airport Road, Ashburn Boulevard, which goes into Forest Lake South, and then one other one that I'm blanking on right now. The one that goes right in, I think, to Hollymead Town
Center. Is that a total of nine or a total of six?
That's a total of six, but three of them are within 1 mile of Hollymead Town
Center. And these
are
all overpasses?
These would be overpasses.
That we don't have the money for.
So you would take the lights off of 29. It would improve the flow of traffic on Route 29, which I think people would say is a good thing. But you're right. What does that cost? The cost estimate for those six in today's dollars without right-of-way is $180 million.
Oh, my gosh. And the total amount of money that the state is putting towards in this transportation plan, minus Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, is $260 million or something?
Well, that we will see, and then there's what will we see locally, which of course is much
zero.
Less. But, I dug up Albemarle County's request to the Commonwealth Transportation Board. This is from last October, And besides the Meadow Creek Parkway, improving 29 was the highest priority. And the improvement I'm interested in is the widening, you know, where it constricts down between the river and Hollymead Town Center.
And that's where all the accidents
are. So one of the questions I keep asking is, well, when are we going to fix that? And so the county is saying that's one of our priorities. But I looked it up in the place where this is kept, the ledger, so to speak, where they keep track of this. And there's no money at all for that project coming from the state. So that's one of the primary road projects. We've talked a lot about secondary roads and the need to get funding for those, but we have a similar challenge on the primary road front.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Remind folks, we were talking about Places 29 in the last hour. Remind listeners what exactly that is.
That is the name for the master planning process for the 29 North Corridor, and you should think of it as coming up with a long-term transportation plan and a long-term development plan for how we want to grow that part of the community. So whether it's determining what some of our needs are, where we could have higher density communities, where we could redevelop, where we could have green space, parks, trails, what are the pedestrian needs, what are the transit needs.
Who's doing it?
This is being done by Albemarle County, which has hired consultants to work with them. So they have transportation consultants, land use consultants. And we did a similar process in the community in Crozet when the Crozet Master Plan was approved in late 2004. That was the first master plan community. Places 29, the 29 North Corridor is the second one. We're also in the middle of the Pantops Master Plan. Then we're heading out to Glenmore and Ravana Village of Ravana, for that master plan. Eventually, you know, the southern part of the county will be
done. When is this Places 29 supposed to be done? What's the schedule like?
The goal is to get this current framework, this draft, in front of the public right now. In fact, there's another meeting Thursday night, March 8th at 7 o'clock, and that's at the Senior Center. That's an opportunity for the public to come look and get hands-on with the plan and talk to people about it. It goes from the public to the Planning Commission. They will take a vote on it. Then it goes to the Board of Supervisors. The goal is by the end of 2007 to have this master plan approved, and that will then be the guiding document. You hear a lot about our comprehensive plan. It's a big, thick notebook that talks about everything in the county and how the county's going to grow. The city has one as well. But think of a master plan as a more detailed guidebook to how to develop a specific part of the county, a specific priority list and an inventory of infrastructure needs that we're going to have to invest in if we want to do it the right way.
Is something like this legally binding? Are future elected officials or staff held to this plan once it's passed now?
Well, once it's approved, it is the guiding document, and that's what staff will use to measure any new development proposal that comes along. However, it's revised by the community and the board every 5 years. So every master plan, once you approve it, this five-year clock starts, and then it's revisited every 5 years.
How high does it go up to the county line, up near Sheets?
Almost. Actually, I take that back. I'm looking at the map here, and Piney Mountain is sort of at the northern end of that. So there is a little gap between there and the border.
Yeah. And this meeting tonight doesn't deal with that. That's a Planning Commission meeting. But when is the next Places 29 meeting?
That's Thursday night on the 8th at 7 o'clock at the Senior Center.
And can folks, like, are there maps and this kind
Absolutely.
Of thing where you can go up and you can look?
And there'll be
You've
tables
been listening to Charlottesville
and,
right now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville right
on the
now
maps,
broadcast
I believe,
live.
I did,
Monday through Friday
on
News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m.
Like. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow.
Coy
if you'd like
Barefoot
to join
is the host and producer.
Pick up your phone
to interact with Coy and his guests. You can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville
how
Podcasting
much
say, Network.
How much input
Visit SeaVillePodcast.com
really
for more.
Well, I would say the community has a lot of say about it. This has been going on since 2005, so a lot of community feedback should already be reflected. Now, that doesn't mean all the ideas that have been thrown out by the community have made it in there. For example, Ken Boyd, the chair of the Board of Supervisors, really wanted the Western Bypass of Route 29 to be factored in to the plan, and it wasn't. I've heard other neighborhoods in Forest Lakes, Hollymead, they've had some concerns about road interconnections there that they wanted excluded from the plan. So it just because the public raises an issue doesn't always mean it gets in there, but they have tried to accept that feedback. Les, I wonder if you have given any feedback? Have you been involved in this?
Just getting involved. Just bought a house in the Berkeley subdivision, which is getting some of these pass-throughs, and actually just became aware of the plan itself, too.
Yep. Well, it's certainly huge. And, you know, a lot of people who have been here a while react to the idea of master planning 29 North, and they say, isn't it already done? And in fact, one of the things that came out of the report that shocked me was how many additional homes could be built as part of this plan. So right now, there are about 14,200 homes in the Places 29 study area. They project over the next 20 years, you could add 6,800 more.
So almost half, almost a 50% gain.
And if you take the multiplier we use, which is 2.5 people per household, that's about another 17,000 people. Now, again, it's a planning guideline. Crozet had similar population numbers talked about. Crozet's master plan was 20 years and 12,000 people. And the housing's been approved for that many people. But how soon will they move there? When will the houses be built? We have to wait and see on a lot of this.
Les, thank you so much for the call. I want to squeeze in another caller. John's in Charlottesville. John, turn your radio down, please. Is John with us? Oh, I think we missed. John, you there? Oh, we missed John. Sorry about that. Didn't Hollymead kill the parallel road that was supposed to go all the way up to Airport Road? Was that the idea that we would have these parallel roads to 29 to alleviate traffic in that corridor, and yet the Hollymead community basically put up a wall and said, we don't want a parallel road coming into our neighborhoods?
There has been some discussion about that. There's still some roads on these maps that are sort of in there for future consideration that I know some in the community would rather erase from the maps and not have any of those lines on there. It's one of the challenges here is by creating these parallel roads, we can alleviate some of the congestion on 29. So the transportation planners really like these.
Yeah.
The one they're recommending is Berkmar Extended, and that would go from the current Berkmar Drive at Sam's Club all the way up to Hollymead Town Center. That's a parallel road a lot of people are buying into. Of course, there's not a lot of residential development along that path.
Yeah.
There is an expensive bridge over the river, but that's a parallel road that's gotten support. And the parallel roads on the other side of 29 are going to really focus on roads like the Meadow Creek Parkway, the Eastern Connector, Hillsdale Drive, and those have been talked about a lot. But it's going to be closer in to the city, as opposed to creating that parallel road all the way up.
And this really is, I mean, Les has a good point. In a way, this really is a wish list because, to talk about another bridge over the Ravanna or six overpasses on 29, there's no money for even barely sidewalks, let alone this kind of stuff. It really is like, wouldn't it be cool, hey, kids, let's put on a show kind of thing. But there really is no money for this stuff.
And one of the questions
doesn't mean you shouldn't plan as if you did have the money one day, but realistically.
Well, how realistic are the job figures, the population figures, the housing figures? You know, if you look at our community, and after the break, we're going to talk about the National Ground Intelligence Center. That is one of the entities that's bringing people here. The University of Virginia is certainly another one. But what else is there that would bring a whole lot of people to fill up all these houses? I'm not sure.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. He's in studio, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. What is this? Over at CVilleNews.com, there's a big discussion going on about the expansion of NGIC, the National Ground Intelligence Center, which used to be downtown, and it moved up to 29 North, and they're going to expand up there with even more buildings and a whole bunch more employees.
Yeah, the federal government's apparently trying to relocate some of the intelligence-related jobs out of Washington. We could say a lot about that.
Yes, we could.
But the Defense Intelligence Agency is trying to relocate some of those jobs to get them out of the crater zone, so to speak, so that if something catastrophic happened in Washington, all the essential folks wouldn't be involved. And Charlottesville is one of the places they're looking at. The Ground Intelligence Center has been here a long time, and they're looking at adding about 820 jobs around the year 2011. So this is growth that the Board of Supervisors has pretty much smiled upon as the kind of growth they want to have. They see these as high-paying jobs. These people are going to buy homes. They'll pay property taxes. Unfortunately, on the flip side of that, because it's a federal facility, they don't pay any local taxes on their property. So any property that NGIC gets their hands on comes off the tax rolls. And of course, they don't have any sales or tax related to.
Right. So the tax burden is increased on those you know, homeowners?
Well, potentially. And of course, then it depends. Are they bringing kids with them or are they coming by themselves? And, you know, it's hard to make any definitive statement, I think, about any one particular population from a company coming here.
But you can look at who's there now. And
sure, they and they probably have tried to figure this out.
Yeah.
And certainly everyone's going to want to have some projections about where they're going to live, what their needs are going to be. But again, going back to the Board of Supervisors being supportive of this, they orchestrated a land deal with Wendell Wood, who's the property owner in that around the NGIC facility. And they allowed him to take 30 acres of his property into the growth area so that he could sell some other land to NGIC to allow this expansion to happen. So that was sort of a deal that was brought to them. And at the time, this was last summer, May of 2006, the way it was pitched to the Board of Supervisors, if you don't take this deal, NGIC is going to move, you know, to Texas.
Oh, yeah. They always say that. You got to take this deal or it's the end of the world and everybody's going
to
move.
So lots of senators were on the phone from Washington saying, you know, we'd really like you to keep this, but only if you can work it out.
Well, I think it's great. I don't see anything aside from the growth and handling the growth, which is a constant issue. And it is a problem, but it's a good problem. It's the problem you want to have as a community.
One of the things that they've pointed out in recent meetings with folks from the County of Albemarle is that all of these people will be relocating here. They will not be hiring any of these people locally because these are people that already have the job that will be coming here. So they don't expect to hire some of our people. That is in contrast to, again, the same Board of Supervisors has recently said that they want to stimulate growth in jobs, but they'd rather not have it be this kind of jobs. They don't want a company, forget about NGIC, but think about any company relocating here and bringing all their people. That's not what the county has said recently they want. They have said, we want somebody to come here and train and hire people here who are underemployed. So you've got sort of competing visions there for the job market and where we go as a community.
Yeah.
In general, though, I think, you know, they approved the North Point development partly having NGIC's expansion in mind. That gets some housing right nearby.
Remind people about North Point.
North Point is just past Airport Road. It's a large mixed-use and residential neighborhood. There'll be an elementary school there.
This is the one that's like 900 homes on 300 acres?
Right. I don't remember if that's the exact math.
Whoa!
But it will be. It's across the street from the North Fork Research Park, UVA's Research Park up there. So that's, you know, was seen as one way to help house these people. In the previous half hour, we talked about Hollymead Town Center. That's another 1,000 homes that'll be talked about tonight in front of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. So there are a lot of housing projects that could definitely support this.
To continue the discussion from the last half hour, this is all in that 29 corridor. That place is 29 area.
That's right. And so I think, you know, Les called in the last half hour and asked, does it really matter what the community says? And I'll say it over and over. It definitely does. The people that show up make the decisions. And the community has to show up on these things. If you're concerned about transportation issues, if you're concerned about where the housing's going or what it looks like, you need to come and speak up. And it's easy to do. You can come to any of these meetings. They're on our website, seavilletomorrow.org. Look at the calendar, pick one, come observe one. And if that's not the one you want to talk at, then, you know, learn how it's done and then come to the next one.
Brian, I think if people get frustrated because you could have a lot of people go to one of these meetings and a whole lot of people voice an opinion that a supervisor or supervisors would vote against. And they feel like, you know, that guy had his mind made up before we even had this meeting.
There is that cynicism, but I can also
point, is that what it is?
I can point to just as many examples of where a single person shows up and says, and this happened with this same project tonight, Hollymead Town Center. A woman said she had already bought a lot for a townhouse in the residential portion of Hollymead Town Center. So then she sees in the, I guess she got a mailing saying that here's a parking garage that's going to go up 5 stories tall in front of her house. And she's like, that's not what I was promised. And so she came to a planning commission meeting. She said, listen, I have planned to live here. I plan to be a part of this, you know, walkable, livable community. But this isn't what I was promised. And I don't think you should approve this parking deck right in this place. You know, put the parking somewhere else. They agreed. And they voted down that change that the applicant was asking for. Another development right nearby, right behind Hollymead Town Center. There was a piece of light industrial land, and the question was, should it be residential or should it be turned into light industrial? The neighboring residents came in. The Chamber of Commerce came in. Tim Holbert, the director of the Chamber of Commerce, he came in and said, I don't think we need the light industrial land there. We have other places where we can use it. The homeowner association came in and said, we would rather be next to more housing that's attractive than light industrial. They agreed, and that project's moving forward. So there are three people who had a lot to say about some major developments up 29 North.
And for what it's worth, this is an election year in the county.
And
so
it's
an election year. We might see these supervisors this year be incredibly sensitive and aware and pay a lot of attention to the public coming forward and the public speaking on these issues.
That's true. And, you know, as we think about Places 29 and NGIC and Hollymead Town Center and North Point, and think about the major transportation improvements that these experts are recommending now, those past developments have not contributed to the cost of that infrastructure. So, in other words, on North Point, it proffered, or the developer put forward some money, set aside some money to make some improvements on 29, like turn lanes, roundabouts between them and Forest Lakes.
Just like they did for the Hollymead Town Center shopping area with that light.
That's
and
right.
The turn
traffic
lanes.
Lights and, yeah. and their internal road structure and all that. But at the time, these major overpasses were not approved, were not something that somebody could say, hey, yeah, the experts say we need that. Look at the traffic trends. So unfortunately, we've got a lot of development that's going to happen, and this infrastructure is not there. You know, as I went back and looked at the county's request to widen 29 in that area, it goes back to 1988. It was in the six-year plan in 1988 that they asked that portion of 29 be widened.
And between the Walmart
the river
and the Target.
And the Hollymead Town Center. Still hasn't happened, and the money's not there. So one of the things I start to react to is I see these long-range plans and I see big population numbers and I see big jobs coming in. What's going to drive that? And how does the plan hold together over time if we're not going to have growth that makes it work? You're seeing that out in Crozet. They have a 20-year master plan, but the supervisors are starting to say, we need to prioritize which areas grow first, because otherwise it's going to be scattered all over the place and not be a cohesive new expanding community. We're going to have the shopping in one place, but the housing somewhere else. So as we need to think about that as a community. And I think, the public has a lot of smarts, and them coming to the table and saying, have you thought about this? Or what is really going to bring that many people here? And what should the priority be?
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Let's take a very quick break. And during this break, if you would like to get a pair of tickets to see Neil Bortz here in Charlottesville at the Omni on March 21st, give us a call, 977-1070. Let's take the 10th caller. The 10th caller at 977-1070. Matt will hook you up with two free tickets to see Neil Bortz on March 21st. We'll be right back.
Looking for a good book on retirement? Here's a thought. Why don't you write your own?
...of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us every Tuesday to talk growth and development. So if I hear you right, we have wonderful planners that work for the county, and they have some fantastic ideas of what we could do to make this a beautiful place. We have developers who are very talented and have incredible vision as well and put a lot of people to work. The only problem is we don't have money to really do all of this public stuff that we need to do. The developers have money to make a new neighborhood. What we don't have is the money, say, for an overpass or a new bridge or a new road that we desperately, desperately need.
I think we have a lot of development that's been approved, and we need to make sure the infrastructure can catch up to the development that's already been approved. We're seeing that out in Crozet with Jarman's Gap Road. We're seeing it on Georgetown Road in the Jack Jewett District in the county. We're seeing it all along 29 North. We've got Meadow Creek Parkway. There are a lot of transportation priorities that have long been on our wish list. And I went to a Free Enterprise Forum lunch today. Jim Bacon was the speaker there, and he was giving folks a rundown of his transportation vision. And
he doesn't like the plan that just came out of the assembly.
He does not. He thinks it does even more damage. He is a big fan of having the user pay for their use of the roads. And he's talking about new technology that would let folks, it be transparent, so you would see the cost of your use of the roads. You'd pay at the pump. It would keep track of how many miles you had driven. So it's not a gas tax, but it's actually how much you're using your car. The gas tax he sees as problematic because as cars get more fuel efficient, we switch to hybrids, electrics, then that source of revenue starts to dry up.
Right.
Jim Bacon's an advocate for passing that cost on to the people actually using
user
the roads.
Fees. If you're going to go out and use a certain road a lot, then you should pay to help upkeep that road. Yeah. And we used to do this. I mean, isn't that where the whole federal highway transportation scheme came from? You took public public money and you made the roads. But we don't do that anymore for some reason. I don't understand it.
One of the interesting twists he put on it was that it's a tax that should change every year. It should be revisited every year, and the amount should be adjusted based on how much VDOT plans to spend on maintenance. So you set the fee so that you can recoup enough money to maintain and build the roads we need, and then you revisit it, and you sort of challenge VDOT to be more efficient and lower the cost. So it puts the ball in their court to be more efficient, maintain the roads better, outsource when appropriate, drive the cost down, and that could be good for everybody.
Yeah, but that's not what we're seeing. Why are we not seeing these innovative, clever, out-of-the-box, progressive ideas, not progressive liberal, but just progressive with a small p, ideas that really challenge the status quo? Instead, we see like people with old ideas or people with no taxes at all.
I think we've got to start getting creative because we know Richmond, the status quo is not working for us. And we as a community have some real needs for infrastructure. We're going to have to do something differently. And that sort of user fee, I think, is a pretty attractive thing to look at.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at sevilletomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Corey.
And enjoy your meetings tonight.
I'll be at
till late at night. The Charlottesville Albemarle County Planning Commission meeting is tonight. And that's at the County Office Building.
County Office Building, Lane Auditorium. I hope I've inspired you to come speak.
Be there. Be there or be square.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.